If I start not talking into this mic, just wave. I'm not good at this. I'm not practiced at this. And for some reason, this thing's not on. I might have to wing it. Yeah, I will be reading a lot. I'm not used to speaking too much, so I don't memorize everything. So my name is Blaine Rosenfeld. I'm the son of my mom, Emmy, and brother of Corey. Yeah, if you had known me a decade ago, you wouldn't even have me speaking this much. I was very quiet. I guess the Lord wanted me to save up all my words until now. I guess I was like that as a kid. I never spoke when I was a kid until I was two. I just, and people knew. And then we moved, and nobody knew, so I started speaking. And yes, as you see, I have a few tattoos, just a couple small ones. One day I was working on the road, and it was raining, so I figured, well, what better thing to do than get a tattoo? And one turned into a few others. They're all Bible-based. I had a Christian artist, and he made me explain what every one of them was. And obviously it was God-led, because next thing I knew, I lost my one job, and I started working in a federal prison. When I first started there, I wore long-sleeve shirts, and then the one day when I took my jacket off and showed my tattoos, all of a sudden people loved me. So, unexpected. But yeah, it actually gives you a little bit of credibility there, so people will actually listen to me. I don't work as a guard. I do maintenance, which is another thing you never would have thought, or I would never have thought, because if I had something break, I just called somebody. It's a lot easier. But today I figured I'd speak on the secret place. But of course now it won't be a secret, because now you'll know about it. So yeah, I started in Psalms 91:1. Which says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I usually feel very privileged and honored when people do share secrets with me, because it's not exactly the easiest thing to do, but it's their secrets, not gossip or anything like that. It's when people tell me their secrets. It's a proof of trust when this happens. Or else desperation. Luckily, because growing up as a pastor's son, I mean, I have some good advice, I think. It always seems to work for me anyways. Not for the better of others, but for me at least. No one opens their secrets to someone they don't trust. But it also puts a level of responsibility on the person that they tell. So when it's me, yeah. I try to be responsible. It also means I'm a custodian of someone's vital and sensitive information, and I can't afford to be frivolous with what they've kept me in charge. It's also very interesting to know that every individual, group, or multitude of people have one secret or another that only a few selected people are privy to. In my job especially, it's interesting how I find a lot of people will confide in me once they get to know me. Especially if they know of my beliefs. And everybody there has a secret. Nobody's guilty. Everybody's a victim. I've actually had them confide in me what they've done and why they've done it. And sometimes I can see the reason they did what they did, but I would hope I would never get to that point. Because as in a federal prison, everybody there is pretty much there for murder or heavy drugs usage or trafficking. So I've got quite a few stories. But in order to keep secrets secret, they're usually shared in a private place. It's not out in the open. And in our generation, secrets have become obsolete because everybody posts everything online, whether it be Facebook or X, I guess it's now called, or something like that. So now we know when somebody has breakfast, lunch, dinner, grads, and what all happens at them. Thank goodness when I was a kid, I didn't have YouTube because there were some instances at doctor's offices that I would have hated to anybody see what was going on. So, but I did stumble on some fundamental truths from that Bible passage above. Of course, when I talk about it, it'll be from the King James Version. So it's he that dwelleth in the secret place. And yes, I always got the wrong idea from that because first off, I don't speak in the earths. I speak in the normals. But yeah, I always quoted it wrong because I always thought it said they that dwelleth, but it says he that dwelleth. So we are supposed to be alone. I'm not actually following my notes. I keep on adding things or saying it totally different, so I don't even know where I am now. Right? But I am in Manning, so I know that much at least. Yeah, here we go. I'm not sure if anybody would share their secrets with me if I were to bring another person with me. Jesus Christ would leave the multitude and even his closest disciples to be with God alone. And I think that's what the majority of this message is about, is alone means all alone, and it's with God most of all. No distractions from the phone or any other social networks. Because I'm sure that you've all noticed that when you do go into pray or meditate on the scriptures, that as soon as you hear that ding, man, you want to look. Because you know that it's the most important thing you've ever read or heard, or it's the most important person to you. It's either that or else you just want to eat all of a sudden. But you're always distracted. It never fails that when you're trying to be alone with God, you get distracted. But yeah, we're supposed to leave the man side out of our dwelleth and be just our spirits in communion with him. To dwell means to stay on something or somewhere for a while. To abide in a location, to spend more time on something or in a place. Dwelling is different from visiting or passing through. And that's what Christianity most of the time nowadays is everybody just wants to come in, get their meal, and leave. Drive by or drive through Christianity. No commitment. We've turned our pastors and preachers into performers. We sit in our highly exalted seats with our legs crossed and analyze everything that the preacher or minister is doing. If they don't bring us what we desire or the excitement we need, we call them dry. If they preach or minister too long, we get upset and don't come again. How's he going to get you out of a mess you've been in for 20 years of your life in an allotted time? In Job 14:14, it says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. We shouldn't have any kind of time limit on God or his anointed ones. Some of my voices. I was cheering a lot yesterday. I wasn't, but it's a good excuse. My emphasis today is on the secret place of the Most High. It is interesting to know that the Most High has a secret place, a place of restricted access, a place where he hides his secrets from ordinary people. This place is more a spiritual location than a geographical one. It's a place where decisions that manifest in the physical are taken. God let Abraham into the secret place in Genesis when he shared with Abraham what was going to happen to Sodom. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration and showed them secret things. Not only would God share his secrets with you in the secret place, But he would also keep your own secrets as well. I know some people nowadays don't have any secrets, but some of us have things that we can't put on Facebook or X. There are things in our lives that if it ever became public, we would lose the respect and audience of our followers. You know church people are mean. They never forgive their own. Check out every church leader or pastor whose secrets came out in the open and watch how his colleagues in ministry would react to him. Even when God has forgiven him. Sorry, I'm not an emotional person, but when I speak, I get that way. Even when God forgives him, we would not allow him into our church. His own congregation and followers would turn and find another shepherd. Why are you still going to that man's church? Didn't you hear what he did? Well, thank you. I can throw that on my eyes and pretend I'm not crying. I'm not so sure about the anointing on the pastor anymore. His anger problem was exposed by his wife. There's so many things that come out and that we can't forgive. Unfortunately, we have killed too many men of God by our expectations. We expect them to be perfect and never be tempted or never sin. Sadly, most of these men of passion like you and I, live their lives trying to live up to our expectations. So even when they are drowning in sin, they dare not share it with anyone. We've made them supermen who are not infallible, or who are infallible. So when we discover their faults, we are so disappointed that we could not forgive them. In Psalms 139, 13 to 15, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The last time I was this bad was at my dad's funeral. So, excuse me. My Heavenly Father will never die. Before the fall of Adam and Eve, the Bible seems to infer that God would speak with them and walk with them all the time. In Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Bible constantly urges the redeemed to spend time walking with God and praying in secret without ceasing, giving thanks for everything. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In 1 Thessalonians 57:18 is when it talks about praying without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The Bible constantly urges the redeemed to spend time walking with God and praying in secret. The secret place is the heart of God. Ashamed. Everyone needs a place to hide from those nosy, prying eyes, especially in this world of the internet. Everything is in the public eyes. God provided such for Adam and Eve in the garden until the serpent came. Jesus had the Garden of Gethsemane where he broke down before his trusted friends. Where is your own secret place? Where can you be yourself without the pressure? With whom can you share your deepest secrets? Every man, as long as they are still on this side of eternity, are fallible and liable to disappoint, which means the most secured secret place is with the Lord. The scripture ends with a very profound and wonderful benefit to dwelling in the secret place. shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow signifies protection. It also alludes to the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and the tabernacle and temple, as well as to the outstretched wings of the cherubim covering the ark and mercy seat. The person who remains under the shadow of the Almighty will receive the protection as the result of making him their defense and strong tower. God is the all-sufficient one and can do all things for his people. I'm fidgety. The enemy can't touch those who remain under the shadow of God because his grace protects them. They are lifted above all principalities and powers. It is a place of security and protection from the evil conspiracies of the enemy as God surrounds them deliverance. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." It is a place of God's holy concealment in all things, and there is no thought of grieving the Holy Spirit or apprehension of God's wrath that will come upon the world for rejecting Jesus as Lord and Savior, because he has redeemed the born-again Christian, and they can join with all creation and worship him with unhindered joy and reverence. This is the assurance we have that when we dwell in his secret place, when we are sheltered from the scourging tongues of men. I know we use the scripture for physical protection, but it is deeper than that. If we are under the shadow of the Almighty, it means the Almighty himself is standing over us physically, mentally, spiritually, and even emotionally. God invites us to join him and live in the secret place of the heart, because he is spirit and his glory is beyond our ability to fully perceive his merciful goodness. When Moses wanted to see the glory of God, the Lord explained that no person could see him and live. So he allowed Moses to see his glory only from a secret place. Exodus 33:20-22. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." God gave a glimpse into what must be done to experience his presence, which can only be enjoyed by a person who chooses to dwell in his secret place. That requires complete honesty and trust. No one can join God there unless they are willing to be fully transparent and honest with him. There's a great benefit to dwelling in the secret place. When a person chooses to leave behind the cares and enticements of the world for a lifestyle of spiritual worship and devotion to God, James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Lamentations 3:23, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So each day they are drawn near to him in new ways, and just as his mercies are brand spanking new each new day." We begin to see this world the same way God does, from the eternal perspective. A lot of scripture verses. Isaiah 6:1-5. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and the two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" It's a clear picture of us, you know, nowadays in the world we live in. time spent in the presence of God reveals our true thoughts and selfish motivations that might otherwise escape unnoticed. The cares and concerns of this earth begin to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace as life is now seen from His perspective. Dwelling in the secret place doesn't mean a person becomes so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good and neglect their responsibilities and relationships. It just means that they do it for His glory. John 3:29 tells us how Jesus wants to be with us. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. And 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." To have a passionate heart devoted to God requires sacrificing one's will to spending time with Him. Developing ever-increasing intimacy with Jesus also requires aligning daily with Him so that the Holy Spirit can continue to deeply transform you into His image with ever-increasing glory, so that your heart will become more devoted to Jesus. It is impossible not to be changed and transformed when you are in the presence of God. A heart devoted to God truly knows who He is. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Experiencing deep intimacy with Jesus begins with deep trust. A person cannot be intimate with someone they do not trust implicitly. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Learning to trust in the Lord with all your heart means to not lean on your own understanding, which is your logic, intellect, education, experience, knowledge, etc., and then knowing and acknowledging Him in all your ways. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will eat with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. The door to the heart is opened fully to Jesus when all your worries and cares are given to Him. And we can then let Jesus take us deep into the secret place of intimacy within His passionate heart. Eating with Jesus is like having an intimate meal with a loved one, where you can talk and you can learn about each other. In 1 Peter 5:7 it says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." And Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." There is no greater joy than dwelling in the secret place with Jesus. Intimacy is the way to know His heart by delighting yourself in Him, and requires having a soft and pliable heart that is fully devoted to Him. Your wants and your desires begin to align with His as you lay down your will. Abide in His presence. Sing songs of adoration. Worship Him in everything you do. And have a conversation with Him as you read and study His Word. The journey to the secret place begins when a person chooses to trust God in every situation of life as their refuge and protection, and lets Him meet all their needs. Our continual choice to surrender fully to Him results in His giving us His strength to do so. If our lives are to bear lasting fruit of the Spirit, The power to carry it comes from time spent with him in the secret place. Galatians 5:22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit to our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And 1 Corinthians 3:14-15 says, if anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work has burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as though through fire. If you want to develop a vibrant relationship with Jesus, then you need to learn to dwell in the secret place of God. The Father is always with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you truly believe this, you will live accordingly. There's absolutely nothing a person can do to earn access to dwelling in the secret place. Any Christian can make it their home if they want to. The key to moving into the secret place is completely surrendering to God and his will for your life. Dwelling in him requires having an intimate relationship, spending consistent quality time alone with him, and continually drawing near in prayer and worship by learning to dwell in his word, the Bible, by reading and studying it like a letter from a loved one, so that you can carry his image to this lost and dying world. Making that a habit will diminish the cares and distractions of this world, and is how intimate knowledge of God's heart is gained as you learn to respond to him with childlike trust. The majestic God who created this intricate universe with all its galaxies and solar systems longs to know you intimately. And he sent his son to die to prove it. By setting your heart on those things that have eternal value and releasing the cares of this world, by trusting in him, you will become a true reflection of the wonderful, wondrous brilliance of his beauty. So where is your secret place? Is it with your friends, with Facebook, with X, or is it with the Most High?